Hello and welcome to another podcast. I know that I shouldn't really be doing them as often as like literally one after the other. I just recorded the relationships episode and I literally remembered that recently I did my presentation in English. So I decided I'm going to let you all listen as to what my presentation was on. And maybe with a little bit more of an Abby quirk rather than a formal quirk. So I'm going to skip the whole hell I'm going to go down here, and I'm going to go straight into what I was talking about. So I'm going to be discussing the paranormal and the true stories behind supernatural horror films. This is inspired by a YouTuber named Hayley Reese. If you haven't seen her channel, please check it out. She is great. So before I talk about everything else, I'm going to give you a little bit of a background on paranormal and possessions. And one thing that I've noticed is people tend to get possessed most often when they play with a Ouija board. This only really tends to happen when you break one or multiple of the rules. And the most common rules are: do not take your finger off the pointer, do not disrespect the entity, don't forget to say goodbye, and don't play in a graveyard. Now that last one is a little bitch. It's very, very picky, because a graveyard doesn't really have to be one in church grounds or anything like that. It can literally be anywhere with a dead body that isn't decomposed. Like in the movie Ouija Origin of Evil, which isn't based off a true story, the house has two dead bodies in the basement and that makes it a graveyard. So it's extremely picky, so before you play with a Ouija board, make sure there are no dead bodies around. You know, casual. So now to talk about the movies. The first movie I'm going to talk about is Sinister. Now, if anybody listening to this has seen Sinister, you'd know that it's about a man who finds some home movies of the killings that happened in that very house by a child. Now, the storyline and the characters in Sinister are completely fictional. However, the demon in the movie is very real. The demon goes by the name Bagul, and Bagul is an entity that consumes the souls of children and then forces them to kill their entire family. Now, it's extremely easy for Bagul to travel into our dimension because he travels via photos and videos of himself. The strange thing about him, though, is that he always uses a different method of luring a child in, and this means that he's very hard to detect, you know, because that would be extremely hard to detect if he's always using a different method. One time I think he used something similar to Slenderman. There are a lot of horrifying things that come along with Bagul, including if an adult wanted to worship him, it would involve a blood sacrifice and, get this, the eating of a child. So this is probably so he can consume the soul of said dead child and use it for its own purposes, like creating apparitions to lure other children in. The next movie I'm going to be talking about is a complete classic, Nightmare on Elm Street. Now, this movie's main demon is Freddy Krueger. Freddy Krueger is obviously not real. However, there are two demons that are similar to him. A man wearing black who is described to have a burned face and a woman in white. Their main target was actually people who survived the killing fields in Laos and Cambodia. And the first case was a family who had just arrived in the USA. A young boy in the family had complained for weeks about these nightmares that he'd been getting of a woman telling him that she was going to kill him. He was finally convinced to go to sleep, and they actually gave him like a sleeping pill, and that night they actually woke up to him screaming and seizuring. And by the time they got to him, he was dead. Yeah, there was apparently a lot of blimmy lad about it. This also happened to 100 men and one woman from Cambodia and Laos. I think the woman was from Laos, I believe. And scientists actually had to come up with a name for this, named Sudden Unexpected Nocturnal Death Syndrome, aka SUNDS, S-U-N-D-S. And 90% of these deaths actually tend to occur between 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. within the span of 1970 to early 80s. And after some digging, I actually managed to find a quote from one of the survivors. Who knows why he survived, he just did. But it's from a man who said, "A tall, white-skinned lady lay on top of me. Her weight made it difficult for me to breathe. I tried to call out, but could only whisper. I tried to turn over, but she pinned me down. After 15 minutes, she left and I woke up screaming. Now, I don't know about you lot, but I think that's a bit creepy. I'm not sure. I think it's a bit creepy. I think so. Sorry if you can't sleep tonight. And now the final movie. The Jawbreaker movie known as Veronica. Now, this movie is a Spanish movie that has been dubbed the scariest movie on Netflix, and some people can't even finish the movie. I personally couldn't because of a vomit scene and it was terrible. So it's extra terrifying that it's based off of a true story. This movie is set in 1991 in Madrid, Spain, and in the movie, the girl is obviously named Veronica, but in real life her name was Estefania Gutierrez Lázaro. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but I don't know. She was 18 at the time, and she actually died 6 months after she had played with a Ouija board, and her parents believed that the Ouija board was the reason why she died, and her death was in August of 1991. The event was even recorded in the police department as a supernatural happening, so you can imagine the things that went on. When Estefania was alive, she was very interested in occult-like activities. Her and her friends decided to eventually play with a Ouija board to contact a deceased friend who had died in a motorcycle accident. The ritual was eventually interrupted by a nun who then broke the Ouija board. Now, you probably won't know this, but broken Ouija boards actually release all the demons that have ever been contacted through that board, to which her friends then saw smoke coming in out of her nose and through her mouth and all that stuff. So, I think that might have been her getting possessed. I am not entirely sure. It formed an attachment to her, but it didn't fully possess her, if you know what I mean. After the ritual, Estefania would then suffer seizures and hallucinations for around 6 months. She would go days without eating and would even burst into random fits of anger and bark at her siblings. She went to see multiple doctors, so they couldn't diagnose anything wrong with her, but she knew something evil was there. And that makes this even more upsetting because she knew something evil was right in front of her and that it was happening, but she couldn't do anything to stop it and she was watching herself be this awful person that she knew she wasn't. So after Estefania died, she was just found in her room dead. So in the movie, like, the demon's got his hand down her throat, which that didn't happen. She was just dead, dead as a doorknob, in her bed. Her family, after her death, would experience the same happenings that happened to her. They would be slamming doors, they would hear voices, there would be electrical malfunctions, and they would see the same shadows that she saw. But the scariest one is that a picture of Estefania lit on fire from inside the freaking frame. The fuck? So you can imagine the horror that her family went through. Gladly, after they moved house, this completely stopped, so it's probably just the house that has Estefania's soul in it. So it's kind of sad that she couldn't follow her parents, but she was kind of causing a bit of horror for her parents. Obviously, they had called in the police, that's why the supernatural was in the police report. And that's my little summary of the three true stories behind the films. So, sorry that this was a bit of a short one. If you liked this one, then please listen to my other ones if you haven't done so already. I've got one on relationships and one that's just a flat-out introduction to myself that involves my friend Olivia. She's also got a podcast called The Little Things. And, yeah, if you enjoyed this, please listen to my other podcasts. I hope you like this one, or maybe favourite my podcast if you haven't already, because I need attention! And I will hopefully see that you guys have listened to my next one. Thank you.